in Kitsuni, is the best place to go up and to go Olden, and that takes collaboration from all parties. As it relates to the access to justice, yes, the establishment of a family and children court remains a priority. We did have the increase in magistrates and to be able to handle the cases that arise, but there is framework that is needed for the establishment of that. The Ministry of Justice and Legal Affairs also has a new access to justice unit that deals with public defenders, legal aid, and mediation matters. So we are hoping to further collaborate with that ministry to have that information and for our staff to join in training and certification for the same, so as to expand the pool of persons that are available there. I know there was a study tour to Trinidad to observe the family court setup with a view of making the necessary adaptations and implementations for the Federation. So we continue in that regard. Our training of our stakeholders involved in child protection remains paramount for us. Our police, judiciary, school teachers, health, all our mandatory reporters. And we continue to work with the individual ministries to establish frameworks by which we may get before these persons on a regular basis, as we stated, new recruits in the teaching fraternity, all new recruits for the police, getting before them to do so. Specialized procedures for children as witnesses. Our National Counseling Center performs the competency testing with the assistance of UNICEF. We did at one point have the infrastructure for testimony by children not in the physical space of the court, and we are looking to return that through once we have our new administration building built that can provide the space for the same. Protocols for questioning, yes, that is in place with our the competency testing, and then we do have the establishment where every effort is made for the child to give testimony once in the presence of all stakeholders required, police, child protection, and if the family has any lawyer, any representative for the child there, so that one time presentation of evidence allows everyone to then do their individual work. That is slightly mentioned in our child protection protocol, but we will be looking at expanding that throughout to make sure that there are time frames for the same, because prosecution requires things to be done in a particular time frame. So we're looking at the framework amongst those. Unfortunately, Ms. Harris, we had a slight cutout when you were asking about any legal things. So I don't know if you can repeat that last question you had before the independent monitoring. As well as independent monitoring, yes, our ministry, as well as Foreign Affairs, has the functional operations as they make contact with our UN agencies. But on the ground, our ministry will be serving as one of the, as we're looking at the framework to establish the Human Rights Office. We know it was previously with the Ministry of Health as it related to persons' HIV-related matters and discrimination, but it has grown beyond that. And so now as the caring arm of the ministry, caring arm of a government, we're being looked at to be able to establish that framework so that we may be able to monitor all of the treaty body matters, as many of them overlap with our functional responsibility. Cooperation with civil society, yes, as a small island state, NGOs are there. We do have a couple of child-related ones that are on our books, and so we are open to share so that for future engagements, those can be outreach. We have the Advancement for Children Fund, and we have some others that do child-related advocacy and programming. To make sure that you can get a non-state opinion on these matters as to how well we're doing in relation to that. To Vice Chair, the Constitution does not expressly add sexual orientation to the definition or chapter that reads about discrimination. So that is not in place, but however, as a person, you do have certain fundamental rights of which one is not to be discriminated against. As it relates to the situation with the LGBTQI population, yes, as it relates, we are seeing a lot of it coming through our school systems, and we are working with the guidance counselors network in schools to be able to look at how we make safe spaces for children to be able to express varying views of orientation and in practice. And so that remains an area for policy and programmatic development as well as social change, because, you know, as a predominantly African and Christian society, that issue has challenges in the home and parent understanding. There was an earlier question about when parents leave the Federation and leave their children here unattended, what happens? We are looking to strengthen our guardianship legislation and its regulations, because those things are done informally. A mother or father may leave the Federation and hand over to an aunt, a grandmother, but to access education and health records, you need a formal legal guardianship arrangement. And so we are looking, that is on our legislative agenda, to allow for our Probation and Child Protection Agency to do some guardianship arrangements that may then be vetted by the court, but not requiring the court at the first end, because that for time and money may be a deterrent for many. So we are looking at that. But where the child becomes known, education will let us know, health or the community will. We normally go down familial lengths, family, birth, father, mother, and then we go down through the family tree to be able to assess what is the next best, because we do not use institutional care for those. Temporary will be placed in foster care while we go through their familial trees in order to know the next best one to be able to place we are in. But we try our very best not to use institutional care in those situations. But we are strengthening our communications with the public around, let us help you to formalize your transfer of parental rights when you journey or have cause to leave the Federation, because it may cause impediments therein. Our situation with sexual orientation and discrimination is indicated is an area for development and enhancement, both programmatic advocacy and information sharing, to be able to have greater acceptance for that population. So the question of no child marriage, yes, on our records, from our court system, we do not have any marriages of children under the age of 18. Where we mention the migrant population is, we do have an influx of persons of Indian descent, and they may customarily have arranged marriages or committals of children at an early age to another. And so recognizing the parameter within our legislation that allows the parental consent for early marriage, we will be looking at addressing that so that we do not have that situation. While we respect their cultural beliefs, we definitely do not want our laws to facilitate the same. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right, so we've now got, I see Ms. Siddiqui would like to ask a question.